Blog Talk Radio. We can hear you, though.
Hello?
Hello?
Adjustments. I need to make some adjustments. Amen.
Amen.
631. Can you hear?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
Amen.
Can
praise
you,
the Lord. 843.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. Praise
yes,
the Lord.
Yes, I can
okay.
hear you.
Praise the Lord. So it sounds like everyone can hear me.
Yes.
So, okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we're going, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you would just. Use us as vessels, Father. Lord, Father, we just come against any thing, Lord, that tries to prevent this ministry from moving forward. Lord, Father,
Amen.
We just ask, Lord, that you would just move those obstacles, Lord. And, Father, we know, Lord, that distraction, tell me, Father, is nothing but a trick of the enemy. And, Lord, Father, we do those things that are as though they're not. Lord, we move forward, Heavenly Father. We're expecting a blessing this evening. We're expecting someone to receive something through you, through your word. Father, use us all, that we would all be in unity in the name of Jesus Christ. It is by the blood of Jesus, Father, that we claim it, we decree it, we call it. We call out the name of Jesus, and we thank you right now. Amen, amen,
amen.
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 We're going to start off, you know, our topic this evening is I sacrifice it all for you. I sacrifice it all for you. And as we move into the scripture, we're going to start off with the first scripture. It's starting off with John 15:5. And we're going to try to get more interactive. I talked with one of the ministers, and the comment was that we need to just begin to start to read scripture rather than just saying what the scripture is. We're going to read the scripture for those of you that don't have the Bible so that we can understand what that scripture is saying. And if need be, if the Lord just says, halt, stop, we're going to do that. We're going to be obedient. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to John 15:15. Amen? John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master. That part I would like to just, you know, just to discuss as we go begin to start to break that down. I no longer call you servants. At that time, during the Gentiles and the Jews, the Jewish were under a law. They were under a law at that time. And they had to be obedient. They had certain festivals. They had certain rituals. There was mysticism. There was all kind of things that was going on that was that during that time. So, in actuality, they were functioning under a law that was by man. They were functioning under a law that was by man. And because they were functioning under that law, they were more almost like servants. At a particular time, they had to perform a certain, whatever the law called for during that time, they had to participate with that law, that man-made law. So, when God, Jesus Christ, came, he abolished that law.
Amen.
He abolished that law. So he said, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He allowed the Holy Spirit within us to be able to commune with the Father. The Holy Spirit was able to commune with the Father. We were free. We are free. We are free through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's death and resurrection abolished that law. So therefore, it made us free. We could come to the Father any time that we chose to. Amen? So then the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is what guides and directs us, and the Word of God is what instructs us, which instructs us in what the Father has to say. And all we have to do is read the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, we become instructed of what God says. Now keep in mind, these were writings of Paul during that time. So Paul is just writing letters at that time, and through those letters, he was talking about how we should conduct ourselves. But we're going to get further on into that. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. The Holy Spirit allows us to know and to be able to communicate with God. The Holy Spirit allows us to have a relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit. And it says, if you are a servant, you don't know your master's business. Why? Because mm-hmm. you are separated. You are separated. And because you are separated, you are looked at lower than the master. You cannot sit at the table with the master. You cannot share your thoughts with the master. So there is a separation at that time. So therefore, it says here that a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I called you friends. So from that death and resurrection, when Jesus Christ came to abolish the law, there was unity in Christ. And that whole death and resurrection was because he needed to abolish that law so that we can come together and be one body. Not separate, but we can be one body. And it says, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you. And before I move on, are there any comments? I'm looking to see if I have to add a mic on here. Amen. Amen. We have an 843 that just tuned in. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we move on, amen. 859 that just came on. For those of you, I'm just letting you know, 859-843-631, your mics are hot. So anytime that you want to share, amen, we're just basically having a conversation. Amen. We are interacting with one another, talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we begin to start to move into Easter, it becomes even more prevalent to understand the purpose, that purpose. And we talked a little bit about it last week. So as we move in, we're going to be obedient and we're going to be open that, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us one to
Amen.
Another. It says the Spirit knows the Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, I'd just like to say good evening. I'd just like to say to just jump, piggyback off what you were saying about the servant and basically the master. We do know because of the Spirit of God. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For
Amen.
The Spirit searches all things, yea, the
Amen.
Deep things
Amen.
Of God. Now, when
Amen.
A lot of people quote that scripture, but they don't go to 10. You know, they
mm-hmm.
sometimes don't go to 10. And when he's talking to me, what he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
Eyes have not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man. I think he's talking about, and I know he's talking about, those that are unsaved. Because it goes
mm-hmm.
right back to what you were saying. It goes right back. We are no longer servants, but
Amen.
Children. And and we know what the Spirit is saying unto us, the church, what he's revealing unto us through the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen.
And it just piggybacks off what you were saying, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any more comments? I'm going to try to you know, make sure that I'm open, and if there's any
right.
comments as we move along, because God moves in mm-hmm. each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has so much to share. And for those
right.
of you that listen at, if you choose to call in, you can call in and participate as well. Or you can send a off of the, you can text it in, and we will read if there's anything that you have that you would like for us to share. Amen. As you move forward. Any more comments?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. As we move further, there are three things that I would like to point out as we move forward. And the three things are justification,
mm-hmm.
righteousness, and reconciliation. Justification, righteousness, and reconciliation. Moving into the next scripture, if you could just move your, you can go to Galatians 2:21.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now my text reads, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, Christ died for nothing. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, Christ died for nothing. Here, Paul, well, let's first of all look at the word righteousness. Righteousness. Righteousness can be related, it's almost the same as justification.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness. I look at it just from the root word, right, in the relationship. Justification.
Mm-hmm.
Judge. When Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, let me just go back, step back a little further. When the purpose was because Jesus Christ came was because of sin. I'm hearing music in the background. Because of sin. Now, there was a separation during that time. When Paul is writing his epistle, there was a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. And we'll talk about that even a little bit more, even further. The Jews and the Gentiles, there was a separation. The separation was the Jews felt that they were above the Gentiles.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They felt that they were better than the Gentiles. And they were not functioning according to the law of God. They moved away from that law, and they
was serving the law of man during that time. There were rituals and so on and so forth. But as we move on, justification, or should I say righteousness, is the same as justification. And that is Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he died on the cross, the reason that Jesus Christ decided to give his life, when he decided to make a sacrifice for us because of how we were serving at that time. There was no unity between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was a separation. There was a separation. They were not abiding to the word of God. They were not abiding. That was out the door. And because at that time, God became frustrated. He was frustrated with man. And because he was frustrated with man, the penalty that God chose at that time was condemnation. And Jesus Christ stepped in and said, and I'm just painting a picture here, Jesus Christ stepped in and said, no, I will become the sacrifice. I will become the sacrifice. I will give up my life so that they will not become condemned. I will give up my life to give them a second chance. I will sacrifice myself. Now, during that time, you know, during that time, of course, you know, any time there was something that needed to be done, there was always a sacrificial lamb. There was always a sacrificial lamb. So that time, Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb. It was not an animal, but it was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, he gave up his life. He made a sacrifice for you and for I so that we were not condemned. We became justified. We became justified. There was not a relationship. There was not a relationship between God and humanity because of that separation, the way that they were living. And Jesus Christ stepped in to justify what they were doing. And because he gave up his life, they were justified. Justification, they were justified. I look at that root word as just. Justified. Justified. They were justified because they were supposed to have been condemned at that time. And because Jesus Christ gave up his life, he made a sacrifice for you and for me that we became justified. Then, therefore, we had a right relationship with God, that the union came together because there was a second chance. There was that second opportunity. I'm going to stop there and ask, are there any comments? Any comments? The justification, a Greek word for justification is to justify. To justify. And when we look at to justify, that is usually translated into righteousness.
And we're going to go on, and we'll go on, and we'll speak on there. But it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For the righteousness came by the law. The righteousness came by the law. Jesus Christ came to abolish that law. And it's saying here that if Christ had not, it says that Christ has not died for righteousness, then he died for nothing. So that's almost like how I see that. That's almost like the whole purpose was that that Jesus Christ died so that we may be justified, that we may be justified for our actions, so that we were given a second chance, so that there was righteousness in the sight of God because of his son. And it's saying here that if Jesus did not give up his life, and that was grace given to us. If he did not give up his life for us for righteousness at that time, then he died for nothing. Any comments? I feel like I'm getting too much in this, and I really want to make sure that I open up the mic so that we become so that we can communicate on this. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
No, I like that because when Jesus sacrificed his life during that time, the priest always went and sacrificed bulls or lambs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God that he sent Jesus because he was the last sacrifice. Man doesn't have to,
Amen.
You know, use the lambs and the bullocks and all that. Can you imagine if we were still doing that? There would be no beast in the land, in the earth,
Amen.
Because we'd have to go back and still kill them to get that remission of sins, you know, get that redemption of sin. But because Jesus came and he shed his blood, he was the
Amen.
Ultimate sacrifice. We don't have to go back anymore. And he gives us access back to the Father from where we were alienated from.
Amen.
In relationship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, and that right there, I'm sorry, I hear you want to make a comment. Go ahead.
Amen.
And that right relationship. And the justification, you know, that was because of the observance of that law at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's saying here is that if Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law, mm-hmm. if we could not understand that he came to justify or to put us in a right relationship with God, then he died mm-hmm. for nothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If we can't understand why Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me, then he died for nothing. If we can't understand that we now have a right relationship, if we have been justified because of the death on the cross, there was an atonement.
Yes.
Christ came as an atonement. An atonement meaning that he came and he made a sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for us. And if we cannot understand that sacrifice, then he died for nothing.
Wow.
And Jesus, what was the purpose? What was the purpose? Now I don't want to get away from the Word of God, but I'm just trying to think of another way of saying that. It's almost like doing something for you. Say you were in a situation where you was or someone that you know was about to die.
And you came, and what you did was you made sure that whatever it is that they needed to live, you provided that for them because you had the resources. And you brought those resources, and that person lived because of what you did. Now, that person, other person who was there observing that, should have been appreciative because of what you did to help save that individual that was about ready to die. It could have been, let's say, it was someone in your family. And you came and you brought the research sources, you brought whatever the medication, you brought whatever it was for them to live. Maybe it might have been too expensive for you to purchase. And because you didn't have the money to purchase that medicine to help that person live, someone came and they brought it for you. And guess what? You did not have to pay them back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They gave it to you out of their own free will. They gave it to you because of the love that they had of wanting to see that person live.
Yeah.
And you, on the other side, they came and they helped your loved one live, and you was not appreciative. It was almost like, well, I think that they would have lived anyway had you not brought that.
Wow.
I think that medicine wasn't what helped cure my loved one. They would have lived anyway. You could not see the benefit of bringing that medicine, which was very expensive, for that person to live.
Mm-hmm.
You could not appreciate it. You could not understand it. Now let's flip it over to where we are now. Jesus Christ came and died because we were condemned to death.
Right.
Jesus Christ stepped in, and he made a sacrificial atonement because of the sin of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped in and he gave his life so that that penalty that was supposed to have been served on humanity was not served. And we lived. The penalty was not served. So what Jesus Christ did was he came in, he brought what was needed that we could not afford to pay for. We could not have died on the cross. We could not have hung on that cross with the nails in our hands and the nails in our feet and made an atonement for humanity. We could not have done that. The penalty was too high. But Jesus Christ came and he did that for humanity. He came in to make sure that the sin, the penalty that was about ready to be paid for the sin of humanity was not served. And humanity could not understand and they could not see what happened. They couldn't see it, could not understand it. It's almost like, well, we're going to continue to do what we've always done. We're going to continue to do what we've always done. We're going to have our seances. We're going to do everything that humanity says that we should do here on earth, but no observance to the law of God, to the relationship of God, still not even thinking about the relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking about it. And here it's saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm not going to make God upset, frustrated. I'm not going to make him upset. I'm not going to make him upset, and he does not understand that I know that Jesus Christ died. He gave up his life. He gave up an atonement for you
and for me. I understand that. So I'm not going to frustrate him. So you know what? Because he made an atonement, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to serve Christ. I'm not a servant anymore. I'm free. I'm free. That law has been broken. Now I can go to the Father myself. I can talk to him one-on-one. I don't have to have someone intercede for me. I don't have to
Amen.
Go to the high priest and ask him to pray for me.
Amen.
I don't have to ask for permission to talk to the Father. The law
mm-hmm.
has been abolished. What during that time, what could not be have been done, it was abolished because of the death on the cross. And now, we're at the point where all the Father wants us to do and understand is recognize the reason for the death on the cross. And know, as we talked about it before, it's not about Easter eggs.
Amen.
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 It's about the atonement that was made for us. So now, we have been justified. There was a separation because of sin. God cannot look on sin, and that's exactly
mm-hmm.
what was happening during that time. God does not look on sin. So Jesus Christ's death, he united humanity and God together. So there
mm-hmm.
was a right relationship between. So that mm-hmm. there was a right relationship. There was no hostility between the two. Hostility, what do we mean by hostility? When you choose not to serve God. When you choose not to be obedient to the Word of God. When you choose to turn your back on the Word of God. When you choose not to acknowledge the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's hostility. And that comes within our heart. So now we are in a right relationship with Christ. There is no hostility. There is no separation. There is unity. We are one body with one head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop there and open up the mic. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I think when, I believe when God, for me, when God was sacrificed, Jesus sacrificed for us and for me, I believe that once he did that, it's like he saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
There was nothing else that I can do, but he saved my life for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
how I take it of Jesus Christ for dying on the cross for me, is that he saved my life. And by him saving my life, I can live more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Amen.
Life. And I'm so appreciative of it. That's why I always praise God. I always
Amen.
Lift him up. I always glorify
Amen.
Him for him because he saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't save my
Amen.
Own life.
Amen.
And he did it out of love.
Yes.
He
Amen.
Loved
Amen.
Me that much that he
Amen.
Saved my life. And
Amen.
Why not
Hallelujah.
Give God praise? Just because he loved me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many people think that would do that for you? Would your brother and sister lay down his life for you?
Mm-hmm.
No, but he did it for me. And that's enough for me to say, God, I love you. I bless
Amen.
Your name. That's enough
Amen.
For me to do the right thing. To say, I'm going to do the right thing by you, God. Because, like you said, Elder, he was pierced in his hands, in his side. He was ridiculed as he was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
They stripped
Amen.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And he bled for us. Why not
Amen.
Do the right thing
Amen.
Before him?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And like you said, it put
Hallelujah.
Us in the right relationship with him. Because we
Amen.
Were lost.
Amen.
But now we're in right standing with God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Awesome.
And you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead. You know, and I wanted to make a comment on this, that, and this, it follows that man cannot be justified
by his own morality. He can't be justified by his deeds or his form of religion. He can't be justified by the honesty and the integrity. He can't be justified because if he could, because of those things, there is no need for a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? There's no need for a Savior because he can save himself. Man can save himself. Mm-hmm. So there is no need for a Savior when we can be justified by those things. The only thing that we can be justified is due to the grace of God. Justified by grace and our faith. Justified by grace. That was grace. When someone sees and feels what needs to be done, but we can't see where we are and what we're doing, that's like seeing your child going in the wrong direction, knowing that the direction that they're heading is that, let's just say that they're on a boat and they're in a stream just rolling along. But you have the vision enough to know that further down the road,
mm-hmm.
that stream will drop. That stream will drop.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you're yelling, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Stop. Stop. Because you're heading for destruction. How many of you would do that for your child? And we are the children of God. And God is saying, stop. Stop. Understand what took place. Don't forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about my death and resurrection.
That's good.
Don't let mm-hmm. it be in vain. Don't feel that because you're an honest person that that's the right thing to do. Yeah, that's the right thing to do. I shouldn't have said that. Don't think that by your honesty is going to get you into heaven. Don't think
Amen.
That by your deeds is going to get you into heaven.
That's right.
Don't
mm-hmm.
think by your integrity that it's going to get you into heaven. Don't think that. Understand that we have been justified by grace, and it's our faith that's going to get us in.
Blood. Mm-hmm.
Thomas.
Wow.
Thomas. You feel like I'm talking too much. It's taking up too much time.
No,
this
it's good.
It's a rapid Bible study. The other
good.
Piece I wanted to talk about is reconciliation. Now, reconciliation is a doctrine that's closely related to justification. Now, as we said, justification is almost like an acquittal. That's like letting someone off for their sin and guilt. Letting someone off. Justifying, making it justifiable so that they don't have to serve the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reconciliation is the restoration of justification. That's a personal fellowship with God. Reconciliation is necessary between the two parties. There has to be reconciliation there for something to occur. Because if it's not there, that reconciliation, what that does is, if there's no reconciliation, then it disrupts the fellowship of one or the other. So because we were separated, humankind was separated from God, we were reconciled. We were brought back together. we was restored with a right relationship. We had been restored. We was restored. That's like having someone who is your best friend and you love yourselves together, and all of a sudden there becomes a hostility between the two of you, and you become separated. Mm-hmm. You were best friends, and you become separated because something that happened, something that one may have done, that broke up that party.
Mm-hmm.
You were separated. You know what? That person went somewhere else, and they never thought about you anymore. You never thought about them. No, I'm not going to say that. One person never thought about
the other.
That mm-hmm. relationship anymore. In their mind, you know what? We had a problem. We had a problem. You know, and because they became upset because I would not stop doing what I was doing, and I could not see what I was doing was hurting me, and they was my friend, and they wanted to make sure that I did not go destruct. They didn't want me to lose my life because of what I was doing. I was too blind to see. And because of that, we had a problem. And we became separated. We separated. And you know what? Because of that separation, there was hostility. We was angry. Why? Because we was friends at one time. And now we become angry with one another.
My Lord.
And what happens is something
put a breach
steps in to bring the two of us back together.
A breach.
Let's see, it could be another person that brought us back together for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
Someone brought us back together, and because we was brought back together, we was restored. Our relationship that we had was restored.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are best friends again. Now we're calling each other on a regular basis and talking. Now we're laughing and crying together because we are best friends. We are back in love with each other again because we are best friends. Now, the piece that I'm trying to bring here is we were best friends, but we became separated. And once we become separated, sin sets in, and all of a sudden now you, rather than love me, love that person, you hate them. Why? Because of what took place, the separation. Mm-hmm. And I continue to do what I was doing all along, and I'm too blind to see. And all of a sudden somebody came and talked to me, and you know what? It was at the right time. And now I can understand the direction I'm going. Or I became very, very ill. I became very, very ill and to the point of death. And someone gave me the answers that I needed to make me realize that I was heading in the wrong direction. And they also brought that person to me. Everybody thought I was going to die. Everybody thought I was doomed, but I lived.
Mm-hmm.
I made it through it. And my life has never been the same. Why? Because I almost died. Everyone had given up on me, except my best friend. And now we have been restored. We're back together again. I'm healthy again. And you know what? I might be struggling. There are temptations that, you know, that I go through. I may be struggling, but you know what? We're best friends. We're calling each other again. And that's what God wants us. Because the penalty was paid.
Mm-hmm.
The death penalty was paid through his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants us. And we have been restored, mm-hmm. and he wants us to continue to communicate on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how often? I know we all pray. I know we all pray daily. But how often do, now we talk to God when we pray. How often do we allow him to talk to us?
That's good.
How often do we open up the Word of God? Because the Word of God, and I say the Word of God, is God speaking to us. The Bible is God speaking to us. When we're praying, we're speaking to Him. And that becomes a one-on-one communication. And the more that we have that one-on-one communication, the closer we get. The closer we get, the better I understand my best friend. And that's what God wants us. Opening up that Word on a daily basis. I look at the Bible as life. God says you may have life and you will have it more abundantly. But you can't, there's some things that you have to do. You have to commune with me. You have to take time out for me. You have to spend time with me. You can't just go on your busy schedule and all of a sudden, I don't have time. I want you to do this. And God is saying that when you take time out of your busy schedule and spend that time with me, that you'll have life and you will have it more abundantly. I will open doors, windows and doors that you can't even imagine. All you have to do is take time out for me. Can you do that? Can you take time out of your busy schedule for someone who made an atonement for you? Someone who paid the price for your death? Someone who brought you something that you could not bring yourself to
live.
That's
right.
Could you do that for me? God sacrificed it all just for you. And all I want you to do is to spend time with me. Open my Word and read what I have to say to you. Take time to communicate with me. You can tell me your heart's desires. I promise you, I won't tell anyone. It's just between you and me. Not like people in the world. You tell them something and the word gets out and you became hurt. My best friend, God, Jesus Christ, says that I will never ever tell. It's just between you and me. We're best friends. And what do best friends do? Spend time together. How do you become best friends? Spending time together. And what happens when you spend time together? You become even closer. And what happens when you become even closer? You become stronger. There's unity in two.
And strength. Yes, right.
Not one. Let me slow down right here. I'm going to open up the mics. Amen. Comments. Not everybody at one time. Let's move on to Colossians.
I'd just like to say this. You know,
This
message, this lesson, this teaching is so important because there's a lot of us out here that don't think much about the resurrection or what Christ did for us. It was and when you gave that illustration about that priceless gift that individual needed, that person that needed that medicine or whatever. That's what Christ did for us. You know what? He sacrificed. That was a priceless gift he gave us because he took away the sins that we couldn't even bear. You know, we couldn't have paid that price. What's good about this lesson is that every time we hear that Jesus was bruised for our transgression, we need to think about, oh, my God, you did that for me. And just like Pastor said, you saved my life. a life that was going, not just lost, but going to hell, separated forever. And now, because of Christ's death, that atonement, we have a relationship back with the Father and with the Son.
Amen.
Through
Amen.
The Son. Through the Son. Because through
Amen.
The Son, we have access to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is a good lesson. Jesus is Hallelujah. Priceless. He's a priceless gift. And I thank God that he sent him. And I thank Jesus that he came. And I thank him that he, even when he was in that garden, and he was, for a moment, he tussled, just for a little bit, you know. And then he said, not my will, but your will. Because he saw Edna Herman down through the generations that she was going to need me to get back to you, Father. So not my will, your will. Just so Edna could be saved. Just so John, Suzanne, Pastor Rose could be saved. I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
This is a good lesson.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And sometimes we take it too lightly. You know, there's people out there taking salvation lightly.
Amen.
I also like the fact, too, that his obediency that he had when the Father said to do this, you know, it was his obediency that helped us through as well.
Amen.
So, you know, we must be obedient as well. We must have that obedient spirit for Christ because he was obedient for us.
Amen.
So, you know, that was just a great thing about it. Awesome thing about it as well.
Amen. And he showed us that we can be obedient. He showed us, even in a tough time, you could do this. Because he came in flesh. Everything that we go through in our life, Jesus went through it. And he's showing us that we can do it too.
Amen.
We can do it. Because he did it.
Right.
And then he went to the Father and sat down and said, it is finished. You can. You have the victory. Just walk through it. Walk through it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Does he know our pain? He went through our pain as well and our suffering.
Amen.
You know, he came down in flesh. So he knows what we're going through.
Yes. Amen.
So and he so he can tell us, yes, you can make it. You can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, you can.
It's the problem that we give up too fast. We give up. Oh God, I can't do it. It gets hard. Yeah,
Amen.
It's hard, but we can do it. You just gotta put your trust in God. And your faith, and do it. Be obedient. That's why it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit. He said he left us a comforter.
Amen.
And that comforter will help
us. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it will.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Any more comments? Good stuff.
It's a good word.
Moving on, Colossians. Going right back to Colossians. Colossians 1:21. And then we're going to hit Ephesians. And
Amen.
Then we're going to hit Ephesians. Colossians 1:21. Would someone like to read that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 1:21. For those of you that's tuning in by internet, we do thank you for tuning in and being a part of this Lock Talk Radio. We pray that that a word was sent forth, you know, and blessed you in some kind of way. Amen.
Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen.
Mm-hmm. You read 22 also, because I'll talk a little bit about that as well.
In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
And in Colossians, that's when Paul was writing to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we spoke about, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles, they were separated. They
yeah.
were separated because of their law. The Gentiles did not appreciate their law because the Jews felt that they were above the Gentiles. They felt that
mm-hmm.
they were better. They
mm-hmm.
felt that the Gentiles was below them and that their law was better. So therefore, there was a separation. And what they were doing was the Jews was not adhering to the law of God. They
mm-hmm.
weren't. They had their own law, and their law was opposed to what God said. So therefore, there was a disunity there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mindset during that time because they was not thinking God-like. They were not looking to God. They were looking at their rituals. They were looking at their sacrifice. They were looking at their boastfulness of how they lived their life better than anyone else. So therefore, there was a separation in their mind because in their mind they felt that they were better than anyone else. They were, you know, they were the ones who were favored to go to heaven. They were favored to go to heaven. So here it's saying Paul's writing the letter to remind them or to let them know that don't forget about the death and the resurrection.
Hmm.
Don't forget about that. And it says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in mind. Enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Enemies of God. Enemies in your mind. Because
mm-hmm.
as a man thinking, so is he. Enemies
That's
in
right.
your mind. Their mind was not on Christ. It was
mm-hmm.
on the ritual. It was on what they were supposed to do at that particular time when they were supposed to do it. So they were enemies in mind. So therefore, when God looked at that, they were wicked. That was sin. And let's just say, sin and wickedness, there is no difference. They both walk hand in hand. So because there was sin and wickedness during that time, it says that enemies in your mind and wicked works now has it reconciled. So therefore, because of where they were and the death and resurrection of Christ, because of the atonement that was made at that time, the whole purpose of that death and resurrection was so that the church could be one body again. So that the church could be reconciled back to God. So that the church could be in unity and they would understand there was one body and one head. And at that time, they were functioning as two. There was two. There was two. There was Gentiles and there were the Jews. They were not all in one accord. They were separated. They were separated. The Gentiles hated the Jews because they felt that they were better. They did not say there was hostility in their heart because of that law that they went through. So, you know, so there was a separation of the people of God. And with that death and resurrection, and it says the body of flesh through death, the body of flesh through death, Jesus Christ, the body of his flesh through death. The body of Jesus Christ, death, if this work is reconciling heaven and earth to you at Colossae, when you were once enemies, God has been reached, and the benefit of this great plan has been to extend to you that it is the accomplishment to you and what was designed and the effect of what happened. The effect of what happened, that death and resurrection, what that does is abolish the law, and it brought the church back together again so that there was unity. And because of that unity, that eliminated the law. They were not servants anymore. They were not servants anymore. And because of that death and resurrection and understanding what that death and resurrection was, they became one body, and they began to start to serve the law of God. So that they were reconciled. There was a separation between earth and heaven because of how earth functioned and how heaven said that they were supposed to respond. There was no unity. And when Jesus Christ stepped in the middle of that and died because of that, he brought heaven and earth back together again. Mm-hmm. So that now that we have been reconciled, now that because our minds are no longer enemies of God, we are friends of God. Now we have our mind focused on God. We're not focusing on the law of the world. We focus on the law of God, what God says. And we have been reconciled and we've been brought back together. And because we have been brought back together, that is the reconciliation. That is the reconciliation. We're not against God anymore. Now we are with God. We're not in the world. Amen? Mm-hmm. We don't live in this world. We do live in this world, but we're not of this world.
Amen.
We can live and see the sin. We can see the things happening in this world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Why? Because our mind has been renewed. Our mind has been changed. Our minds are now Christ-minded.
The mind of Christ.
We're not earth-minded. We are Christ-minded now. So when we see sin coming at us, we can just, because we read the word, because we study the word, and Jesus has already served as an example, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak to that obstacle. And that obstacle, let me tell you something, that obstacle cannot stand in your way because you are Christ-minded. You're not world-minded. You are Christ-minded. And once you have that renewed mind, once you have that renewed, that Christ-like mind, you do not see things the way the earth sees it. You do not see things the way the people who are opposed to God see it.
Amen.
God has given you heavenly eyes to be able to see those things that God says, the earth says can't be done, but God says it can.
Mm-hmm.
Earth says that it won't happen, but God says it will happen. There's a difference in the mindset. There's a difference in the attitude and the way that we walk, our earthly walk. We have become peculiar people. Why are we peculiar? Because we are not part of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. And we are working our way. What are we working for? We're working our way into heaven because we know that there's something greater coming after this. The greatness is not what is on this earth. The greatness is when it's all over. When God says, you know, it's time for me to come back for the church, then all of a sudden we're going to a place that's not made by hand. We're not going to a place where we're going where there's sickness, where there is death. There's none of that. See, and we understand as Christ, with a Christ-like mind, we understand what is on the other side. We understand our Father's business because we're not servants anymore. We are friends. We are friends of God. And any friend understands what a friend thinks. We are friends. We're not servants. We don't live in this world as servants. We're not bondsmen. We're not that anymore. That has been broken. And now we are friends of God. And this whole Colossian letter is to the church of Colossae, telling them, letting them know, reminding them of who Christ is. Keep in mind, do not be conformed to the world. Do not conform to the world. Don't get lost, but be mindful of the death and resurrection of what Christ did. And there is a law that Christ, that God has says that we are supposed to follow. And when we follow that law, that godly law, then our lives are not the same as those who are not following, who are opposed to the word of God, who are hostile to the word of God, who don't even think about God, who don't even think about who supposedly be their best friend.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think
Amen.
About it. Why? Because they have been separated. There's a separation. But when we think about our friends all the time, when we keep our minds stayed on these, when we keep our minds focused on the cross where there was a separation that brought us back together again, when we think about that, when we keep our eyes and our minds focused on that, our lives will never be the same. God wants the glory. God wants the glory. Because what happens is, because of our old self, before we was changed, we began to start to fall back into our old path. We began to start to do the things that we used to do. We began to start to act like we used to act. That's that old self before we was changed. And the world wants us to act like the world. And God is saying that you are a new creature. You have a new beginning. You have a new life. And because you have that, then you need to walk according to that new life. And your life will never be the same. The way that you see things is not the same. Listen, God has the last word. God is the one who has the last word, not man. And if you believe what God says, if you believe that God is the Lord of lords, if you believe that he is the king of all kings and not on, listen, he is above any name that we can even utter, we can even think of. And when we begin to start to think along that with our best friend, let me tell you something. Now we have stepped out of the earthly robe and we have stepped into a priestly robe.
Mm-hmm.
Now we become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
We fall into that priest. Now we have royalty. And let me tell you something. Someone that has royalty should not walk around and feeling like they have less than what they have. It's in the mind. It's how we think. We don't think. You know, and I'm thinking, it says, when we think of things that are peaceful. Think of things that are good. Think of things that are pleasant. Think of things that's going to keep us at peace. We're not to be rustling around and worrying about the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to be, we're not to act the same way that the world acts. We don't act that way because we are children of God. And for those of you that I'm talking to that's listening by internet, let me just tell you something. It's all in the mind. And when we keep our mind to understand that Christ sacrificed it all for you and for me, then we don't have to live the same way we've been living. We don't have to act the same way we have been acting. Because our lives have been changed. We become a new person in Christ. And when God looks at you and when he looks at me, when we are in because we're in that right relationship, he sees his son. And you know how it is when you look at your child.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at your child, you just fall apart. It breaks you down. They can ask you for anything, and you give it to them. Why? Because they're your child. And that's what God wants them to do. That mindset of knowing who he is. And when you know who your father is, then you're not afraid to ask. And you don't ask with doubt. You ask with confidence. Amen?
Amen.
Confidence. Any comments? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:1. And you being a dead in your offenses and sins. We are dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus Christ made that atonement on the cross for humanity, we became dead to sin. So you don't have to say the devil made you do it. Because that's a lie. You chose to do it. You chose of your own free will.
the same as you choose on your own free will to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you choose to serve? Who do you choose to serve? You need to ask yourself that. I know who I serve. I know who I choose to serve. I'm going to serve my Father.
Amen.
Why? Because he's my Father. A stranger, I'm not going to entertain. My Father is going to take care of me because I can't take care of myself. I make mistakes. I mess up on a daily basis. I say things that I'm not supposed to say. I act like I'm not supposed to act. But my Father understands me because he looks at my heart. And he knows that I love him too.
Mm-hmm.
And my Father sees the goodness in me. And he reminds me on a daily basis of who he is. There's always something that my Father does to remind me that he's still there. I'm not on my own. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not walking by myself. I'm walking with my friend, my best friend, because my best friend said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And I believe my best friend. I believe him. I believe every word that he tells me because he's my best friend. I'm not going to doubt when he says that he loves me and think in the back of my mind, well, maybe you don't. Maybe you really don't love me. You're just saying it just to be saying it. No, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he loves me and he loves you. And you know, he is not going to judge me because of my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do. All I have to do is walk by faith, justified by faith. I've been justified. I have a second chance. So you think I'm going to mess that up? I'm going to mess that up? I almost lost my life, and I cannot forget that. I can't forget that. So I'm going to do everything that I can to live. Live according to what God says and how I'm supposed to live. Because he's already written it out for me. All I have to do is follow the blueprint. That's all I have to do. Read his word. Go to his church. Pray with him.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because when this Sunday comes, you're going to hear some words and he says, do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do this because you're just doing it because it's something that you do. It's traditional. Do this for me. When you do this, I want you to have your mind on me. I want you to remember what took place. I want you to remember that you almost lost your life at that time. I want you to remember that I came in and saved your life. I paid the price so that you might live. I died. Died so that you might live. Don't forget that. Do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
I want to walk hand in hand. Whatever you go through, I want to go through with you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to make you feel that you're in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that you go to, I'm going to reveal to you what's going on. And I'm going to even let you know what the outcome is going to be.
That's good right there. Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is believe. Have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Have faith in me. Comments?
Mm-hmm.
I sacrificed it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
I sacrificed it all for you. If you love me, then feed my sheep. I'm not asking you to do anything that's difficult. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that you can't do. And whatever I ask you to do, you're already equipped to do.
Amen.
So if God has spoken to you and given you a word, my brother, my sister, then walk that walk. Take that journey. And believe that God is going to see you through. Believe that God is going to help you to the finish line. And it doesn't make a difference how long it takes. Just don't give up. Says the race does not go to the swift,
mm-hmm.
but it goes to those who endure to the very end.
Amen.
And God is going to be at the finish line with his arms out, waiting for you with a smile and a hug.
Mm.
You made it.
Wow.
You made it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well done.
Wow.
Thy good and faithful servant. Well
wow.
done. I knew you could do it.
Mm.
All along, I've been there cheering for you. And you can
wow.
do it. So when obstacles come your way, God is there cheering for you. He's there cheering for you. Have you tried my faithful servant? The enemy is going to pick with you, but you have to understand that the victory has already been won.
Amen.
The victory has already been won. So my brother, my sister, walk in victory. Walk with your head up. Walk like you are who you are.
Amen.
And remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm coming to a close. Amen. Any comments before we come to a close?
Mm-mm. Good word.
Any comments? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good.
Yes,
God
is
so good. Amen. We thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We do thank you. We are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock, and we have different speakers that come on, and, you know, they come on with a powerful word, you know, and you have the opportunity of being able to share with them. You have an opportunity of doing that. We thank you once again. We pray that blessings upon you as you move forward in your calling. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. God bless you. It's so hard.